and get cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying gas? I'm stopping now to download Upside and fill up my tank. Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or e-gift card. Download the free Upside app now and use promo code RADIO for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. That's promo code RADIO.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. As early as this week, President Biden will sign an executive order which limits the number of asylum seekers, making them wait in Mexico until numbers drop low enough to allow for new applications. The numbers involved are still being finalized. Jury selection's underway in the trial of Hunter Biden. The president's son is accused of lying on the federal form to buy a handgun in Delaware 6 years ago. Dr. Anthony Fauci on Capitol Hill telling the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus pandemic that he and his family need round-the-clock security to deal with threats over what he is alleged to have covered up by Republicans over what he knew about the allegations of the origins of the virus.
It is very troublesome to me. It is much more troublesome because they've involved my wife and my 3 daughters.
Israel says 4 hostages have been found dead in Gaza. This is ABC News. GameStop surges on Wall Street after some social media buzz.
Shares of video game retailer GameStop soared in early trading Monday after a post on an old Reddit account appeared to show a trader purchasing a big stake in the company. The trader, believed to be Keith Gill, known online as Roaring Kitty, who gained a cult following during the COVID-19 pandemic with videos and social media posts about GameStop. At one point Monday, shares rose as much as 75%, adding billions of dollars to the company's market value. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Facebook appears to be making a comeback among younger users. Meta's reporting over 40 million users ages 18 to 29 now check Facebook daily. That's the highest in 3 years. Meta says features like marketplace, groups, and video reels are keeping Facebook relevant for the next generation. Facebook has some 3.2 billion users worldwide. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Some people just know there's a better way to do things, like bundling your home and auto insurance with Allstate, or going to the grocery store for milk instead of buying your own cow. You know there's an easier and better way. Save up to 25% when you bundle home and auto with Allstate.
Bundled savings vary by state and are not available in every state. Saving up to 25% is the countrywide average of the maximum available savings off the home policy. Allstate Vehicle and Property Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
Gotta change my oil.
How about new Valvoline Restore and Protect? It restores and protects your engine to run like new.
Get in zone.
It restores your engine to, like, factory clean?
And protects.
Get in zone.
So Valvoline Restore and Protect restores and protects.
Now you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for
$37.99. Get in zone. AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayland. Governor Tony Evers weighs in on the unfolding administrative and financial problems in Milwaukee Public Schools. MPS is months behind in submitting critical documents to the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. Evers says it's too soon to decide on what needs to change at MPS.
Am I concerned? Hell yes. But at the end of the day, we have to work off the data that's available to us.
The MPS board Thursday delayed a vote on a district budget for the coming year. The district runs the risk of losing state funding due to the missing documentation. A Green Bay man will be staying in prison longer for attempting to hire a hitman.
29-year-old Odie Weber was sentenced on Friday to 4 years in prison for trying to put a hit on his ex-girlfriend. He pleaded no contest earlier this year to charges of attempted homicide, stalking, and violating a restraining order. Weber was already in jail when he tried to pay a fellow jail resident $25,000 to kill his ex. He also offered up information about how to track the woman down. That person turned the information over to the police, including some recordings of the conversation. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
There's a blueprint to address Wisconsin's critical housing shortage.
A partnership between the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Wisconsin Builders Association, and Wisconsin Realtors Association has recommendations. Jerry DeShane, the League's executive director.
So what local governments can bring to the table is a fresh look at zoning and permitting.
The coalition's most recent briefing paper includes reducing minimum lot sizes and widths and adopting a traditional neighborhood development ordinance.
We essentially need to bring every tool to the table and use the one that works best for each community, but everybody can and should be doing something.
Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Daily money management from Numbers R Us. It's all the same things an accountant does for a business, but for you. Whether it's an older loved one, a member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Rhonda at Numbers R Us makes your financial life headache-free and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Rhonda handles bills, deposits, and payments, monitoring accounts, and providing complete transparency. Set up a free visit with Rhonda at numbersrus.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny and warm today, with highs soaring to the low 80s. A few shots of some showers and storms do sprinkle in this afternoon. Otherwise, we'll be mostly cloudy tonight, and more rain chances pushing in by tomorrow afternoon and lingering through the evening. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 76.
The soy complex led grains to the downside, which means crude oil had a negative influence on the ag commodities today. Buying in corn was very limited, and wheat futures shrugged off price-positive news to trade lower. The selling continued in lean hogs, and a surprise rally in boxed beef helped cattle close higher.
Live from a kicking back kind of Monday via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Matthew Elliott from South Dakota State University Extension. Later, Kerry Artak from ArtakAdvisory.com. Directly following the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, welcome your beloved host, Chip Flory.
You know, I am sure that everyone at SDSU appreciates your specificity of South Dakota State University. But
that's right.
I think they're willing to take SDSU.
Just SDSU?
SDSU. Okay. I'm pretty sure.
I'm going to push it too hard now. I should end on a high note. But are they they're the Jackrabbits, right?
Jackrabbits.
At SDSU?
Yes.
Jackrabbits. Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Good night, everybody. I'm out of here.
The only time that for me, SDSU becomes a little confusing is in March.
Okay.
During basketball tournament, when San Diego State University is also playing.
Diego. Yes. That's who I first thought you meant. I'm like, oh, the Aztecs. So we're having some out there.
No. Produce. This is farm country, Big Apple Joe. I know you and your big city ways are thinking about San Diego. But this is farm country. It's South Dakota, okay?
That's good. I'm good with that. That's cool.
See, and this is why I read the whole thing out. I took the extra time, the extra effort, the blood, the sweat, and the tears, say South Dakota State, University Extension, Matthew Elliott.
Yes. I love it. I'm just glad Matthew's here.
Yeah, we got him.
Yeah.
We got him.
It'll be great. It'll be a great conversation. Welcome to AgriTalk on this Monday afternoon. I'm Chip. That's Davis.
It's a nice one.
Yeah, it's 81 degrees. It's even a little muggy, a little humid.
Sticky.
Yeah.
Here too. We're at 79 and sticky.
Yeah. Yep, it's that time of the year. It's June.
It is June.
They slipped that right in under the calendar label, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, I don't mind that showing up a little early. That's fine.
Okay. All right. All right, man. Let's get to the news.
Well, wheat futures tried to rally early in the session on reports of crop stress in southern Russia, eastern Ukraine, and western Kazakhstan, but spillover pressure from the soy complex and corn futures chased buying out of wheat. July SRW wheat posted a downside reversal with the first close below 675 since May 17. Prospects for a larger wheat crop out of Australia added to selling pressure, as did reports that Egypt is attempting to become a grain hub for Russian wheat shipments. Export inspections of wheat in the weekend of May 30 totaled 416,000 metric tons, in line with trade expectations. July HRW wheat futures 8¾ cents lower at $7 even. July SRW wheat down 5¾ cents to 672¾. July spring wheat closed at 733¾, down 6 cents, Chip.
This is a really interesting concept from Egypt.
Yes.
The world's largest wheat importer trying to become a grain hub, an export hub, for the world's largest wheat exporter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure how that would work, except for that Egypt would say, well,
right.
How about we just call it ours?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That's how I would see that plan out.
It's a pretty serious basis play, is what it is.
Yeah, it is.
Ultimately. Chip, corn export inspections weekend at May 30 totaled 1.37 million metric tons, topping trade expectations, up by more than 25% from last week. USDA this morning also announced the sale of 110,000 metric tons of U.S. corn for delivery to Spain in the 23-24 marketing year. Spillover selling from the soy complex pulled corn prices down for a fifth consecutive session. July corn was within a nickel of support at the April 18 low of 435¾. Traders, on average, expect about 70% of the U.S. corn crop to be rated good to excellent in this afternoon's first condition report of the year. July corn futures were 2¾ lower, 443½. September corn down 4¾ cents to 449¼. December corn futures closed at 462¾, down 4¼ cents, Chip.
It does not take much to open downside price pressure in this corn market right now. It's tough to rally and easy to break.
Yep. Soybean oil futures were sharply lower. That triggered selling in soybeans. Bean oil was following sharp losses in the crude oil market. USDA reported export inspections of soybeans in the weekend of May 30, nearly 349,000 metric tons at the top end of trade expectations. Traders are also looking for confirmation of a big slowdown in crush activity in April in this afternoon's USDA monthly crush report. The lack of buying in soybean meal futures added to the downside momentum in bean prices. Downside momentum accelerated in soybeans with a fifth consecutive lower close and the first close under $12. Since May 2nd, July beans 20½ cents lower, 1184½. August beans down 21 cents to 1182½. November beans closed at 1163¾, down 20¾ cents. Chip, China's meal export policy shifts here. Are we seeing it show up in the meal here?
Oh, I think that's part of it. They say that they don't have the demand for meal, so they're exporting more of it.
Yeah, yeah. Today, July cotton was 300 points lower at 73.15. On your livestock's front month cattle futures opened higher, dropped to trade lower at mid-morning, and then rallied back to close just above the opening range on support of a $1.35 gain in boxed beef. June live cattle 47½ lower, 182.02½. August feeders down 20 cents to 256.20. And June lean hog futures today 70 cents lower at 93.65. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Hey, Jack, welcome to June. How you doing, buddy?
Better than the markets are, that's for sure.
Yeah. Not a very constructive way of starting the new month, was it?
No, not at all. Trends turning down with an emphatic D in the beans, and charts looking kind of ugly in the corn and the wheat as well.
Yeah. Yep. Sliding below some key support levels
really,
in here.
Nothing really positive going on. You know, I mean, the demand is good for corn, but the weather is better. So the weather is kind of, the weather is taking its toll on the futures, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, we get our first condition report of the year in just a little bit from USDA report. you know, there's a lot of producers out there, and I'm sure you're hearing it, Jack, that are saying, hey, you know what, this corn crop doesn't look all that spiffy.
Yeah, well, I'm hearing both sides. I'm hearing corn looking really good. I'm hearing corn not looking good at all. Really depends. It'll be interesting to see what USDA does come out with, because people are looking for some really high crop condition ratings, and you know they're going to have to show up. Otherwise, the market's likely to find some support from something less than just a fabulous looking crop.
Yeah. Yep. And you mentioned the demand in the corn market. Boy, thank God that we've still got Mexico in here buying, right?
Oh, yeah. Mexico's been big. There's been a lot of domestic demand as well. Speaking to elevators around the Illinois River, they're shipping corn just as fast as they can.
Okay. All right. Good stuff, Jack. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. Talk to you next week.
No problem.
All right. Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. We've got a lot of ground, a lot of fundamental analysis that's going to be taking place with Matthew Elliott, SDSU, Extension Agribusiness Specialist, next.
Potential. It's the one thing that farmers work tirelessly to reach. Sometimes it takes more than just sweat equity. It takes real financial backing. And whether it's land, equipment, or a little help to make the most of your operation, FBN Finance is the partner for you. At FBN Finance, our farmers' first philosophy means that we have a team of ag experts that looks at each farm and farmer's unique needs, giving you a loan package that fits your goals. And now with FBN Finance, you can get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. With great rates, instant approvals, and a pre-qualification on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Farmers, is your stress starting to affect your work or your relationships? Feeling stress about finances or weather is common in farming. You're not alone. It can happen to any of us. From vouchers for in-person counseling to telecounseling from the comfort of your home, the Wisconsin Farm Center is here to help. If you're feeling overwhelmed, take that first step. Call toll-free 888-901-2558. That's 888-901-2558. A message from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Okay, defensive day. Struggled at the start of a new month in the grain markets today. Some spillover pressure from the energy trade. There's a lot going on in the grain and and even in the livestock markets today. So we're going to talk about what's going on in the grain markets right now. We've got Matthew Elliott, SDSU Extension Agribusiness Specialist. He joins us right now. Matthew, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Chip? Glad to
doing
be on.
Doing real fine. Yeah, I'm glad you're here. Glad you're here. How's things up in South Dakota?
Oh, it's real nice weather. You know, we've had some rains here and there, but nothing too much. And so we've had abnormally above normal temperatures this spring. So it's been pretty nice here.
Yeah. Sounds like really good progress on corn and soybean plantings too, right?
Yeah, I think there was, you know, some concerns, maybe not so much here in South Dakota, maybe a little bit, but certainly in the east of us, there was more concerns. They got some good planting in early, and then it kind of slowed down tremendously mid-May to end of May. And I think but things have picked up, and so maybe not quite on pace, but pretty much close to being on pace from here on out.
Yeah. The last 10% of the corn crop is always the toughest 10% of the corn crop to plant. I get that. But is it too late? And has too much of the corn crop been planted for that to be much of a factor at all this year?
Yeah, it's hard to say in those at the end of the period here with insurance and everything else. It's hard to say how those last 20% end up. So, you know, we don't really find out about that maybe till later in the year when the FSA numbers start coming out. You get some estimates on prevent plant impacts and things like that. And then we have, you know, obviously the switches in acres and things like that. But, yeah, it's always we get to this point and it's kind of like 80% to 100%. It's, you know, whatever happens on the last 20% is kind of, you know, crapshoot, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and you make a good point about the timing of all of this with the FSA data that starts coming out in the middle of August. That gives us a better idea of actual prevent plant acres rather than the June acreage report. We got to wait until the end of the month to get that June acreage report, but it's as of June 1, right?
Right, right. And so, yeah, certainly the FSA data, you know, I think it's becoming more of an impact for market information to try to, you know, figure out what the exact planted acreage is going to be. And then also some ideas on harvestable acres going into the next season.
Yep, yep. It's amazing to me, though, that FSA data, how fast the industry figured out how to extrapolate the FSA data that they get in August into total planted acres, into harvested acres, into the industry does a really nice job of using that data. That's how I've seen it anyway. What else is happening in this corn market right now? Jack was just on, Jack Scoville, Price Futures, talked about the quote-unquote good demand. The export inspections number from this morning was really good, 1.37 million. We had a sale to Spain. It's that the demand does seem to be showing up on the export and in the domestic markets, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we're seeing a little bit better export demand than we maybe anticipated here last fall. Part of that, you know, being production problems elsewhere in the world, in South America, and so forth. And then, you know, Ukraine hasn't exported as much as they have here last year and so forth during this conflict. But yeah, I mean, there's some demand items that are encouraging for corn. I mean, ethanol's, you know, pretty strong. So, yeah, I think there's good demand side. Obviously, we're still fighting, you know, a fairly large carryover, so still looking at that 2 billion bushel carryover in ending stocks for this upcoming season. So until we can get that back to down to 1.5 billion, you know, prices are gonna, you know, remain under pressure.
Yeah, that's kind of the number, isn't it? 1.5 billion corn on the carryover to give us a chance at some sustained strength in that market. You mentioned ethanol. The grind for ethanol has been good. Have you've been keeping up with the, you know, trying to figure out what could be done to get 40B credits for sustainable aviation fuel? And more importantly, I think, I don't know, you tell me, will 45Z credits, is that going to clear the path for corn-based ethanol into the SAF?
I mean, I think that's ultimately the hope. And maybe, you know, they recently announced the rules on the 40B tax credit part of it. And that's so for sustainable or low carbon intensity fuel into the transport sector for this year. And then 45Z is for, you know, the upcoming year. And so they announced the rules for 40B, which maybe wasn't as exciting or hopeful as, you know, the ethanol and biodiesel industry maybe it was looking for. But I think there's still potential there to really kind of improve demand for grains as feedstocks and low carbon fuels through that 45Z tax credit. Now, the 40B one, I think, you know, that we're kind of progressing now. So if you don't get that feedstock and the fuel from that into the transport sector this year, you don't, you know, can't realize that tax credit. So really, I think most of the interest is kind of on the 45Z at this point in time, but the 40B policy making, they feel like will drive into that 45Z policy making on what would, you know, have to be done in order for ethanol plants or soybean processors to realize that tax credit.
Yeah. Yeah. Matthew, if we can take any hints or clues or whatever from the 40B rules and regs, and that's the no-till, that's the cover crop, that's the efficient fertilizer usage for corn to get it into the pathway for SAF. Two of the three, the cover crop and the no-till on soybeans to get the bean oil into the pathway. How realistic is it that U.S. farmers are going to provide a big feed, an adequate amount even of feedstock for sustainable aviation fuel?
Yeah, I think it really comes down to the details on those rules, you know. So, and then it also comes down to the verification and record keeping aspect of it. And so, you know, I think we're still kind of waiting on all of the rulemaking to be officially announced and also to realize, you know, the compliance part of the whole equation. So,
yeah.
You know, I think it's certainly possible. I think they're trying to make the incentives there that it does become, you know, a realization in our economy that you'll see a lot more grain feedstock and, you know, being used for transport fuel in the upcoming year and the years following. So I think it's going to happen. I think that producers are maybe going to have to make some changes here, you know, to and hopefully they have the incentive to make changes to really see that more and more of our feedstock does end up in low.
Boy, we're going to end up with a two-tiered grain market in the cash then, aren't we? You know, corn that qualifies to make ethanol for SAF and corn that doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, especially as the demand side's pulling certain types of fuels or low carbon fuels, and then they reached what they need from a threshold standpoint, and then they don't need any more, right? There's going to be those gaps. And so then you have to find what's the second highest best use for that grain. And it could be certainly a less price than, you know, what you get for your highest best use as a sustainable transport fuel.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Wow. Okay. We are in the middle of a conversation with Matthew Elliott, SDSU Extension Agribusiness Specialist. When we come back, I do want to talk a little bit more about the day-to-day efforts, or day-to-day influences in these grain markets. The energy markets seem to have an impact today. I want to talk about that. And then let's talk about some risk management yet, too.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page of ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where July HRW wheat futures were 8¾ cents lower at $7 even. July SRW wheat down 5¾ cents to $6.72¾. July corn futures were 2¾ cents lower at $4.43½. December corn futures closed at $4.62¾. That's down 4¼ cents today. July soybean futures 20½ cents lower, 11.84½. Novi beans closed at 11.63¾, down 20¾ cents. July cotton today 300 points lower at 73.15. On your livestock's June fats, 47½ cents lower, 182.02½. August feeder futures down 20 cents to 2.56.20. June lean hog futures 70 cents lower on the day, 93.65. Get more, visit tryprofarmer.com.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
Medicare loses $60 billion annually to fraud. June 3rd through the 9th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent Medicare fraud, errors, and abuse. Learn how to protect yourself and your loved ones by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny and warm today, with highs soaring to the low 80s. A few shots of some showers and storms do sprinkle in this afternoon. Otherwise, we'll be mostly cloudy tonight, and more rain chances pushing in by tomorrow afternoon and lingering through the evening. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 76.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk. Don't you think, non-dish liquid?
I think that'd work.
If you can clean up those baby ducks, why
baby
not?
Baby ducks?
Yeah, I mean, they'll probably get chicken out too, I suppose.
I would think. You know, they're not trying to get the duck out of the oil. They're trying to get the oil off the duck.
Oh.
Yes.
Boy, I've been thinking about that all wrong.
Hey, maybe that's a subtle difference that you... Yeah.
See, because I quite favor the fuzzy kind of baby ducks, and then they put them in the oil. No, I can't use that. What do I want that for? It never made sense. Right.
There's no cuteness there.
No.
Welcome back. I'm Chip. That's Davis. Yep. Matthew Elliott, SDSU Extension Agribusiness Specialist, is our guest analyst today. Matthew, talk to me about the influence and the leadership that the wheat seems to have, in the grain markets right now. I don't want to trust a market that seems to be led by wheat is my big problem.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I mean, typically wheat's not, you know, the leading market in the grain complex. And I'm not, you know, certainly we've seen an increase in wheat in the last 30 days. I think, you know, 20% for Kansas City wheat, it's increased. Yeah. And, you know, part of that, I mean, obviously we've heard about some of these issues in Russia and Eastern Europe regarding wheat supply. But really, wheat was pretty underpriced, you know, all through the winter and relative to where it should have been related to corn and soybeans, given the prices they were at. And so somewhat, I think that wheat is just kind of rebounding and getting back to a more of a proper position within the three than it was, you know, anything of wheat on its own, I guess, is my view on it.
Yeah. That wheat being underpriced or low value, whatever you want to call it, did that have much of an impact on wheat seedings this year? It sounds like nobody got real aggressive with it.
Right. I think if I recall, the data we're off a little bit or about what we planted the year before. And, you know, wheat's been on a pretty steady decline in acreage in the United States for, I don't know, going back two decades now, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see that story that Egypt has offered to become a grain hub, an export hub for Russia? I mean, how convenient would that be for Egypt? Let's get Russia to store their grain here and then try to sell it. And we'll just be here to buy it.
Yeah. I heard the story just here as I was listening. I have not seen that story, but you know, I know Russia's out there trying to make a lot of deals to help their economy, as you know, they've kind of isolated themselves in a lot of ways. And so they're trying to make oil deals with China and probably wheat deals with Egypt and whoever they can make a deal with in order to try to sustain some type of economic export activity.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you, the amount of the market is paying attention, though, to the crop concerns coming out of Russia, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly it's always a big unknown is how much wheat is Russia going to export. And if they don't export a lot, then obviously we become an intriguing, you know, source of wheat to a lot of buyers we don't usually see. And so it can have a pretty large impact when they make reductions in their exports and signal that they're not going to allow as much out of their country as they have. And so that's why you see that, you know, that large impact on the news going on in Russia and Eastern Europe.
Yeah. Okay. All right. The crude oil market was under pressure today. It seems like that provided some spillover pressure onto soybean oil, which weighed on beans, which weighed on meal. Just kind of got the dominoes falling in the soy complex today, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, soybeans and the soybean oil and meal held up better than any of them, but the oil and soybeans are, you know, are really kind of being hit hard here the last couple weeks. And, you know, I think, I mean, obviously, like you mentioned, crude oil's down, you know, gasoline demand is down a little bit, which was kind of surprising. We'll get the data on the Memorial Day weekend usage, and we'll see if it's really kind of a trend for this summer that people are driving less and things like that. But, you know, we're building stocks in soybean oil. We're building stocks in soybeans. And that trend's kind of been happening over the last couple of months. And so that's starting to really weigh on markets here more recently.
Okay. Okay. So during the break, I was thinking about this, Matthew. And if it's something that you don't want to talk about, you just say so. Because it is a controversial issue. We were talking about that pathway for corn-based ethanol into the sustainable aviation fuel market going forward. One of the pathways would be to, you know, capture the carbon, stick it underground up in North Dakota, like some there are plans to do. Does right. that whole thing stand a chance, or is there just so much red tape in standing in front of it that it's not going to happen?
Both, probably. I mean, yeah. it stands a chance if, you know, if the economics make sense. And I mean, the way they're writing the rules right now, and if that's going to be the long-term rule, I mean, there's more incentive to go ahead and try to get these pipelines in to get the carbon sequestration part of it, because then you don't have to do the other, you know, climate smart practices in agriculture in order to get that tax credit. Or if you do the tax credit or the climate smart practices, plus you do the carbon sequestration, then you certainly reduce the carbon intensity score for biofuels. And so, you know, the incentives are lining up to really try to get something done along those lines. But as you mentioned, there's a lot of, you know, political reasons, a lot of property right reasons why, you know, people are going to, you know, put up a lot of roadblocks for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then there's the whole timing of the issues. You know, the 45Z credits are supposed to expire at the end of 2027. Well, they may be extended. I would suspect that is the path that it would take. You know, those credits would be around a little bit longer. But for the pipeline to have any impact on that, they're going to have to get – they better start laying pipe soon if it's going to have any impact on this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's going to be court battles for 3 years out anyway.
So, yeah.
You know, I agree with you. You know, I mean, you're going to have to take more of a long-term view on this, and it's going to be slow, especially in the carbon sequestration part of it. You know, on the climate smart agriculture practices – and besides understanding the record keeping part of it, you know, that can be implemented and established by, you know, as we start processing this next harvest that's coming up. So there's less resistance to that, obviously. But I mean, you're going to have to take a long term view, and it's not just going to be federal policy that's going to drive it. It's going to be, you know, state policy.
Sure.
It's also going to be, you know, our neighbors. It's going to be Canada that drives some of this, and Europe and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Good point on the influence from other countries on this whole process as well. Okay. Let's talk a little bit of risk management. Let's your general attitude on what needs to be done: corn, soybeans, wheat. Is now the time to sit back and see what happens in a summer market, or do you need to be looking to sell some strength?
Well, you know, certainly this is typically the month that we see price highs in a lot of years. In these markets, and so the odds are with you. You better start looking at opportune times to market, especially during weather rallies, and they will start happening, you know, at the end of June and in the middle of July there. And even if there's, you know, not a rally, there's typically a lot of implied volatility in the option side. So right now we're sitting, you know, in corn, for example, like around 24% implied volatility. So just how much does the market think that prices could change? And right now we're sitting about 24%, and typically we're probably about 30%. So implied volatility, you know, right in the month of June here is maybe a little bit lower than what we typically would see, but there's still a lot of people that are concerned in the marketplace about where prices might go, either higher or low. And so you can certainly sell that implied volatility if you think nothing's going to happen, you know, that we're basically kind of locked into this 13-14% stocks to use, 2 billion carryover in corn and 500 million bushels in soybeans. You know, you could do some option things to sell that volatility, or you can just be ready and on the gun because, you know, every weather model in the last half of June and early half of July is going to be very important. And you got to just find those opportunities and you got to be disciplined and make those hedges, even though, you know, you can get talked to, I don't know how the crop's going to turn out. It usually there's a lot more uncertainty and a lot higher rallies, and it typically ends up with the highest prices of the year at that period. So it's just one of those things. You got to be very disciplined, and you got to pull the trigger.
Yep. You got it. Have those price orders in place, and don't let a coffee shop talk you out of it when it's getting there. You need to stick with the plan. You need to stick with the plan. Good stuff, Matthew. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Yep, no problem. I had a good time.
Excellent. We'll do it again sometime. That is Matthew Elliott, SDSU, that's South Dakota State University, Extension Agribusiness Specialist. Let's take a look at the charts. We've got Kerry Artak up next.
Everyone knows how important calcium-rich milk and dairy products are to building strong bones and teeth in children. But something you might not know, the calcium in milk has been shown to reduce hypertension in adults. So relax with a tall, cool one and raise a toast to good health and to your local dairyman.
Today and every day, we salute our dairy industry.
Thank you, dairy farmers, for all of your hard work. And this June Dairy Month message is being brought to you by Synergy Co-op, your LS tractor dealer. Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Why do home sellers need the Prime Realty Advantage? I'm Andy Pelkey from Prime Realty of Durand. Here's a big one. When you list your home with Prime Realty, we place your home on two multiple listing services, and that gets your home seen by thousands of potential buyers. Plus, our agents at Prime Realty are more than just a salesperson. We act on your behalf, providing advice, guidance, and the experience to sell your home. If you're thinking of selling your home, don't do it alone. Find out how Prime Realty of Durand can sell your home today. Visit us online at PrimeRealtyMidwest.com.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's a risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Agriculture drives this country.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in conservation practices.
These programs help small farmers better their practice at a cost that they can afford.
They've helped me to not only take care of my family, but to take care of the land.
Today, these funds are at risk. Congress, protect conservation funding in the Farm Bill and keep agriculture viable for future generations. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
Introducing Unscripted with Tyne Morgan and Clinton Griffiths. Real, raw, and entertaining. A new episode is available every Friday on Farm Journal's YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's so wrong. Music goes like that. It's just for today.
You know,
today. You sure?
Yeah, I am.
I'm a music fan, I do prefer them just one at a time.
Those are being pulled for the next few days. We're going to get the clean versions and we'll re-up them. And
I'm not even opposed to, you know, the mashups. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. 21st day of September with Crazy Train is something special.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not opposed to that. That's what we just heard does not qualify as a mashup.
No, I don't think it does.
It was like a crash-up.
Crash-up? That's right.
That's a whole new thing. Joe, look at us breaking. We're pulling the future forward, even on the production side. That's what
I was just getting ready to send Joe a message on my on our little, you know, that doesn't sound good. Was my message, Joe? So thank you for jumping on and
at it. Yes, no problem.
Right.
Well, let's place the laughter where it belongs, Joe. You didn't put that together, right? You were handed that and said, "Here, start running these." So it's not Joe. Yeah,
I could have listened to him before I plugged him in. I could have done that. Did not.
Right.
Obviously.
Chose not to.
No.
Chose not.
Might have been a busy Friday last week.
Right.
That changes my former statement.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Jeff. That's Davis and Big Apple Joe. It's Monday afternoon. That means it's time for a conversation with Carrie Artak, Artak Advisory. Carrie, it's good to talk with you. How are you?
I'm great, Chip. Thanks for having me.
Glad that you are here. Do not forget, go to artacadvisory.com. That's A-R-T-A-C advisory.com. And there is a button on that main page to get started on a 2-week free trial of Carrie's daily updates. You should do that if you have not. And check it out. Check out what Carrie's got to offer. Okay, man, let's get started with corn.
Yeah, July corn. I've been on your show for longer than the last couple of months, but it's been the last couple of months I've been mentioning that the broader corn futures market remains heavy into later summer below a 1-year channel top that we've tested quite a bit over the last few weeks. Last week was the last time we tested it. It's at 464 and a quarter, over 20 cents higher than where we are now. And I've mentioned that holding below that channel top will keep that February low of 404 and a quarter in reach over the next 2 to 3 months. That 404 and a quarter low was put out by the March contract earlier this year. So that remains in reach. And today we actually put out a secondary sell signal. Now, this sell signal is by a degree. It's at 444 half. We closed below it today's settlement, 443 half. I'd like to see a weekly close Friday below 440 half to clarify all that. But that does maintain a heavy dynamic as we move into June, July trade. I do now expect 422 and a quarter over the next 2 to 3 weeks. That is the February low that this contract, the July contract, put out. We could double bottom there for a week. But honestly, I think that as long as we're unable to close back above 444 half this week and we settle Friday below it, that 404 and a quarter level wouldn't surprise me by July expiration, where we could actually double bottom, if you will, into autumn trade. Now, upside, a closing above 444 and a half does put that 464 and a quarter long-term price ceiling in reach again over the next week or two, where we could top out through summer, below which we remain heavy long-term. And it's a level that we do need to close above at the end of any week. So closing above 464 and a quarter adjusts the opposite. It aggressively pivots the market north as we move through summer. I have a 572 half 2-year channel top that would then be expected within about 3 to 5 months of closing above 464 and a quarter. On to July lean hogs. We had a 2 to 3 week sell signal a week ago below a level that is now at 99.35. We settled today at 96.27. So it's 3 full points above that. And the target is 94 even. And we may actually see 94 even this week. 94 even is a longer-term channel top on the weekly chart that we rolled above, actually, when we rolled from April to June, as I recall. So 94 even is a floor of support that may well contain selling not only into July expiration, but possibly broader market selling as we move through summer trade, August contract as well. Now, as we move from August to the October contract, that is much lower in value. So we do need to rally from this area over the next month or two to allow the October contract to then roll above 94 even. But I don't want to get too deep into that. Let me just sort of summarize this, that if we close the week below 94 even July lean hogs, that sets off a long-term sell signal, 87.12, then expected within probably 2 to 3 months. And as we move into autumn, winter trade, the lower 70, 73 even to 74 even would be considered kind of a 3 to 5, 5 to 8 month target if we close below 94 even. But until then, 94 even is our base of support. And if we can close back above 99.35 over the next week or two, I actually see 102.70 as the next sort of 3 to 5 week objective, where July could top out into its expiration. 94 even, a big area for the broader market through summer. Okay. And finally, West Texas Intermediate crude oil July contract. Yeah. We're trading in the 74 handle. Put out a big sell signal today. This after having tested long-term resistance, a long-term price ceiling about a month ago that is presently at 85.50. Today, we closed below 77.50. This sets up a not only 67.71, the December low over the next month or two, say by the end of July, but I think as we move into later year, we could see the very low 60s. 60 even right now is a 2-year channel bottom that I see as a realistic 3 to 5 month by the end of the year, say, objective now that we're below 77.50. So the pressure remains on the sell side. If we can close above 77.50, that signals a good June low. That 85.50 long-term resistance then expected again by the end of July. And that's pretty much all I've got today, Chip.
Excellent. Good work, Kerry. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
You too. You too. Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. National Weather Service, 6 to 10 day outlook, June 9th through the 13th. Below normal temperatures expected over the entire Corn Belt. The highest odds of below normal temperatures right over the heart of the belt. Southeast Iowa, Eastern Missouri, Illinois, Indiana. We've also got below normal precipitation for North Dakota, most of South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Northern Missouri, most of Illinois, Western Indiana, and Wisconsin. Near normal precipitation expected outside of that in the Eastern Belt. The 8 to 14 days is basically a repeat of what we are looking at in the 6 to 10 day as well. Below normal temperatures and mostly below normal precip in the Western Belt. Thank you so much for joining us. We got Jim Mintert from Purdue tomorrow morning on AgriTalk.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou,